Now, question. You men, where would you prefer to eat? Golden Corral? Jake Sheep Market? How many would be content with Golden Corral? Okay, I see 2, 3, 4. Okay, that's where we'll meet Saturday night, Golden Corral, 6:30. Okay, if you're hungry, get there at 6:15. Like you do anyway. We've certainly had a lot of funerals lately, more than I like. I don't like funerals to begin with. That got me to thinking in another direction. In Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus was telling his disciples what was to be done. And he says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, God makes all kinds of calls to his creation. There are times when he calls over and over for a soul to respond to his invitation to be saved. Everyone in this room tonight has had at least one call from God. You have had at least one call from God. Churches across the nation differ in their doctrines and in the way that they are organized. And in actuality, many organizations of churches are not biblical. They're not organized the way God wants them to be organized. They claim to be churches, but they don't use the Bible the way it was intended as a source of governance, nor do they practice what God has written in his word. The things that a church preaches and teaches should be relevant to what is taking place in their members' lives. It is the duty of the church and to its founder, Jesus Christ, to follow his instructions with regard to daily living and the relationship that we share with our mates and other people that we interact with. The Bible should always be why and the source of instruction for all of our lives, because God tells us in his word why we should believe and do the words that he says. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. One of the cardinal verses for the scripture is that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The verse we should all have memorized. Many of us did not grow up in a Christian family. Many of us. Or at least we didn't understand how a Christian was supposed to live their lives. We did the things that we wanted to do, and we went the places that we wanted to go. And overall, we determined what we did and how we went about it. But one day, something happened. It was out of the ordinary. You and I received a call from God. There was a time in your life where God called to you. Now, perhaps you had been reading the Bible. Perhaps someone had been talking to you about Jesus Christ. But something happened, and it changed your life. You became aware that you had received a call from God to do something you had never done before. At this point, I would like to define the word call, because some people don't understand. Call can be a noun, and that is what we're going to be talking about tonight. It can also be a verb and implies some sort of action on our part. God's calls the individual, first of all, into submission to Jesus Christ and to participate in what he did on the cross of Calvary, to accept him as our propitiation for our sins. God also calls people to serve him in some way. And that kind of call, everyone has been addressed. It may not involve Christian service. God calls people to vocations. He calls them to do things in life because he needs people to be doing those things in order for our society to survive and do well. God extends calls to everyone, and he has called you. There are times when God calls a person or soul to come to Jesus and consider what Jesus had done for the people of the world. Jesus did a lot for every soul that is born into this world. He was virgin born. He lived a sinless life, and he died for the sins of the whole world. He also rose on the third day, and he did that because God loves every soul born into this world. Let's look at a few scriptures that tell us some of these things. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And there you have proof God was giving to you of a Messiah. You have the prophecy of the virgin birth. Mary was chosen by God, and I don't know why God chose her, but he did. Mary was chosen by God, and she was notified by Gabriel that she would be the mother of Emmanuel. He accepted that. Then we have Hebrews 4:14-15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavenlies, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, tempted like we are, yet without sin. God offers to every one of us, everyone in the entire world for that matter, forgiveness of their sin. If they will only believe what Jesus did. 1 John 2, 1 and 2 says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." If you are here tonight and you have some kind of sin in your life, something you know is not pleasing to God, he's ready to forgive you. No matter what that sin is, he is ready to forgive you, because when Jesus died, he died for every sin that will ever be committed in this world. And your sin is just one of many that he's ready to forgive. And so we have a reason for loving God. We have a reason for wanting to be connected with God, to be close to him, because he has forgiven us our sins. Finally, God calls us to eternal life through Jesus Christ's resurrection. Romans 1, 3 through 7 tells us, "Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ." There's that word "called" again. Over and over and over, God calls us. Verse 7, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." If you had not been called by God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, where would you be tonight? If you had never been called and you had not heard the call and answered the call, where would you be tonight? I don't want to know. I don't want to be any place but where I'm at right now. In verses 6 and 7 of this passage in Romans, you will see two different callings. The Bible tells us of being called to Jesus Christ to salvation in verse 6. And in verse 7, we are called to be saints. And throughout your life, there's going to be calls from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ to differing needs in your life. Not only are they different callings from God and Jesus, there are calls from some people that occupy the places around you. We get many calls. They're not all from God. We get calls from people. Come help me with this, or come join me in that. And these calls are important, but especially important if they come from God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are times when you and I don't respond to a call. We are not interested in getting involved. There are times that each one of you, as well as myself, are called to help someone, to do something for someone. And sometimes the things that we are called to do are not according to God's will. And as a result of that, people, they don't work out the way we think they're going to. And it can alter your life for the rest of your life. God issues calls, and we have to differentiate between a call coming from our heart to help someone and a call coming from God to get involved in someone else's problem. What's the matter? You don't have enough problems? We all do. We've all got more than we want. Some of them we don't know anything about. We don't know how to fix them. So we need to listen to the calls from God. God call to you represent every aspect of your life. He has called you. He has called you to a vocation. He has called you to a place in life for you to occupy. This morning we talked about we're all ambassadors. We are. If you are saved tonight, you are an ambassador for Christ. You have been called to emulate his life. You can be called to a vocation. You can be called to a church. You can be called to marry or not marry. You can even be called to be parentless or a parent. That's God's call for you. Each calling is ordained by God. And it has a purpose behind it. What happens if you don't respect God's call? Think about that. If you do not answer his call, you are going to be out of his will. And things will not work out well when we are out of God's will. I've seen people lose their life because they refused a call from God. I mean that. I've seen people lose their life because they have rejected a call from God. There was a story in the book of Acts. We saw an example of that. There was a story in the book of Acts, chapter 5. Two people, Ananias and Sapphira. They were called to do something, but their pride got in the way. They didn't do it. God took their lives. I can give you other examples, but I will not. Not tonight. I wonder, has God ever called you? Think about that. Has God ever extended to you a call? And what did he call you to? Did you accept his call? Did you answer his call? Did you respond to his call? Years ago, I met a lady. She was much older than I. She had been called to be a missionary. She was in a little church up in Michigan. And she told me, God called me, but I was in love with a particular man, and he didn't want to be a missionary, and so I refused to take God's call. And I married him, and now I'm too old to be a missionary. And all her life, she had regretted not taking God's call. There may be somebody here tonight, I don't know, that God called you and you didn't respond. And you have in your memory regrets. Is it too late to respond to that call? There are times God calls us to repent and make amends with people that maybe we are not getting along with. And it's actually a call from God. It occurs in our heart. And God says, why don't you make up with him? Why don't you admit you were wrong? Oh, that hurts. But there are times when God calls us to many different kinds of activities. Have you ever had a call from God about anything in your life? I would imagine that you have probably had many calls from God. Adam experienced God's first call when he had done what God told him not to do. Read about it in Genesis 3:9. And the Lord called to Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Has the Lord ever called you and said, just look what you're doing, or just look at where you are? A call from God is usually not audible, but it takes place in your heart. God does that for you to help you get to the place he wants you to be. There are a lot of people, Christians, born-again people, walking around this earth who have refused God's call. They're not doing what he wanted them to do. As long as you and I live, God's going to be calling you from time to time. He has things that he wants you to do for him. And it involves a call from God. Some things may not make sense to you. Do them anyway. If God calls you to do something, do it. Don't question it. Just go ahead and do what he has called you to do. God has always got a plan for you, and for he will send a call so that you can fulfill that plan. Problem is, you and I don't see the end of God's plan. And we see a lot of obstacles in the way. And so we might not accept the call. We might avoid it. And in doing so, we'll be making mistakes. So trust God. You've trusted him with your soul. Trust him with the rest of your life. And when you receive a call, you're going to have to determine if that call is coming from your heart. And what do we know about that? Deceitfully wicked. Yeah. Or is that a call from God for ministry? Don't make the mistake of missing God's call. There are some things that most of the world doesn't know about God. This may come as a shock to you, but God still judges people. God still judges people. All the judgment is not going to be at the end of this life. There's a bema seat judgment for the Christian. There's a great white throne judgment for the non-Christian. But in this life, God is going to judge you for some of the things that you have done, and there will be consequences. That's something we don't have a choice of. God does still judge people in this life. There are certain things that have consequences to them. And if you do the thing, there will be a consequence. And you will not be able to choose what that consequence is. You will just have to suffer that consequence. God judges what we do here on earth, and he works it out that we sometimes suffer for the things that we do. There are things that we will be judged for in eternity, but there are things that we will be judged for here too. So let's just look at how Jesus called some of his disciples. In Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, Jesus was just beginning his ministry. He was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. And in Matthew 18:22, it tells us, he saith to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, who was their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, folks, there are times when God will extend a call to you that will change your life. There are. And you may look at it and say, wait a minute, I can't do that. I've got to have an income. I've got to work. I've got to do this or I've got to do that because I've got to live. And folks, if you miss the call of God, and you can that way, don't worry about what God can take care of you. If God calls you, he's going to provide for you to fulfill that call. He is, not you. We're so self-sufficient. Oh, I can take care of me. Folks, you and I can't take care of me or you. You need God, God's provision for his call. And he will issue calls and he will also make provision. I remember the night, April 1987. When God called Connie and I to go to the mission field. And my thought was, how in the world are we going to provide for ourselves? And in 1990, September, she and I headed for the mission field. We had sold everything we had, paid all the bills. We had $400 in change in our pocket with obligations of over that each month. But folks, we followed God. And he provided. He's still providing. Almost 40 years later. He'll do the same thing for you. You don't think so? Read the biography of George Mueller. See what George Mueller did. See what God did. See what the result was. Has God called you in the past? Is there something that needs to be done that has not been done? Is it still possible to do that thing? That's what you're going to have to determine. He called the disciples here. They were fishermen. That's how they made their living. I don't see one of them asking, Lord, how are you going to take care of me? I see them following him. Without question. And I don't know if it was without thought about how this is going to be done, but they followed him. That's what it tells us. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, these men were not Bible scholars. They were not being idle. They had jobs. They had things to do. Those things were worthwhile to them. Yet, they followed Jesus. They were just plain fishermen. And yet, Jesus used them to do the church planting that results in this ministry. Up fishermen. They probably smelled like their product. They were plain fishermen, and yet Jesus used them to plant the first church. And after the day of Pentecost, they were changed to be bold in their witnessing for him. He had called them 3 years before. And he had showed them what he was expecting from them. They were called and they responded as Jesus had hoped. I don't think it was a matter of hope. I think it was a matter of knowledge. I have to keep asking. Have you ever received a call from God? How do you feel when you call someone and it goes directly to voicemail? That make you happy? You called them because you had a purpose for making that call. You wanted to accomplish something. It's exactly the same way with God. He has a purpose. When he calls you, he has a purpose for you. And he does not want to talk to your voicemail. But you know, you and I get so busy. We get so tied up with the world that when he calls sometimes, it goes to voicemail because the world is making so much noise. You don't hear the call. How do you think that God feels when he calls you and you're too busy to respond? You're too busy with the things of the world. to take his call. The Bible tells us things that are true, and many people don't want to accept them. 1 John 2:15-16 tells us, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. How are you in the world getting along? Are you in love with some of the things of the world? If you are, that's an area of your life that does not have the love of God in it. Now, some of the people like to redefine what the word world means, and they want to have both things of the world and the things of God. Do you remember what Jesus said about two masters? Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Could someone here tonight be serving mammon? Could you be in love with the world and the things of the world? There are people who try and do both all of the time. They're lying to themselves. They want one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. Their pride causes them to deny what God calls sin, and they are inclined to be materialistic. They accumulate things, things that are of no consequence. In spite of all that they say, they do love the world. And God makes a very clear statement. The love of the Father is not in them. I'd hate to think that we might have someone here that would be that way. Now, we've been working toward God's final call. Throughout your life, God is going to be calling you. He calls other people too. There's one call that is very important, and that is what most of the world rejects, and that's the call to surrender to Him and to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. He gives that call to everyone born into this world. That's what he tells us in Romans 1, verses 19 and 20. And it depends upon how a person responds to that call. One day, he's going to extend to you his final call. Each person is going to receive that call. It's not one you can reject. God's in control. If you reject God's final call, either for salvation or to your purpose in this life, you could spend eternity in hell or the lake of fire. That call to salvation is so important. I believe everybody here has accepted it. But how about all the other calls that have come in between? God's final call to you is going to be, come home to me. That's going to be his final call. A lot of people are afraid of that. If you're like I am, I've got things I want to do yet. I've still got a schedule I'd like to keep. And it doesn't include a final call to come home. But people, that call is out there somewhere. God knows the time. He knows the season. He knows where you will be when he gives that call. He's going to extend the final call to each person to come home and be with him. In Matthew 6:24, we read, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." So this night you need to determine which call you are going to accept. The call of your heart to the world, or the call of God to him. Father, none of us think that we are ready for your final call. We have plans, we have things that we want to do. And Father, we want to do the things, at least our heart does, that you want. And yet there are things in this world that are so attractive that they divert our hearts and our minds. Help us, Father, to listen for your call. And if you have extended calls to anyone here in this room, and they have not responded, Father, we ask that you will re-extend that call, giving them a second chance to do your will in your way and in your time. May we be ready at all times to accept your call. Father, we will praise you for the things that you do for us, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.